by Energy Incorporated.
My computer likes spam and cookies and peanut butter and duct tape and high-grade plastics and those cute little banana peppers that look like peanuts.
Hey, welcome back to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're going to shelve the tax discussion, although if you have tax software questions, feel free to check out the resources that Mike Hall has so cleverly posted on our website. Of course, you can also ask. Do we have an open line, actually?
We got a couple open lines, two open lines. Because, you know, that long news break, I think sometimes people
hang
up. Maybe get them a little impatient, but if you never can get in, now's your chance, 602-277-5827.
All right, before we get back to Adam now, Michael, before the show you were telling us we lost a listener.
Yes, we did. There was a gentleman by the name of Rob Friedman who listened to us religiously. He was a loyal listener, and he passed away a couple days ago, and we'd like to dedicate this show on behalf of him.
That's great. And now, he was a listener of the show before, and you have a personal relationship with him through your family.
Correct.
But he was listening to the show before you were actually part of the
show. Sounds like he was like a cheerleader, like he like brought people to the show and like forced them to listen stuff.
So some other members in the family that were down here visiting before he passed away, he was like, oh, listen to this. I listened to the show. So they all were listening to it, and then they tell their friends, and he was kind of a good cheerleader for
us. Well, we thank him.
Yes.
And we'll dedicate the show to Rob.
Definitely.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Now, let's get back to Adam here. And with his, do you have a news sounder?
I got everything you ever could possibly need, all in one little tight little box that says.
Watch this, Adam.
Ooh, I get the good music.
Well, it's kind of like a news thing, right?
Yeah, I guess it is.
All right, so before we went to break, you gave us a little teaser on a couple of news items that I thought were particularly interesting. Let's start with item one. What
Out
was
to
it?
You in the field, Adam.
Yeah.
Item one. Well, some of you know about the little promotion where Pepsi was giving away 100 million free songs through the iTunes service.
iTunes is Apple's little 99-cent per song download service. Very successful, very good, high-quality stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Pepsi made a little mistake.
Little boo-boo?
They made a little boo-boo while bottling. You see, if you look carefully at the top of a bottle with that has a number under the cap, you can see the number through the cap without opening the bottle.
You mean through the bottle?
Yeah.
You mean so you just like turn it sideways or something?
I think you can actually look through the cap.
Oh, like the plastic cap, you can actually see the number.
Yeah.
It's backwards.
Who has time to go sit and do this?
Yeah.
Hey, for free music.
Yeah.
Aaron Fleming, our technical director, is pointing at herself going, me.
Like,
oh, yes.
Like, wow, there's nobody left listening. They've all run to Circle K to get Pepsi.
Oops.
I don't want to buy this.
Notepad.
So are they doing something about this, or is it just too late?
Well, I don't have any news here from news.com, which is a very cool site.
From Pepsi saying, send those bottles back.
Yeah.
it says here, the bottle cap loophole could disrupt Pepsi's ambitious marketing campaign.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah.
Oops.
A non-technology solution to a technology problem.
My guess is that they're probably paying Apple some whatever percentage for every song that gets downloaded through these codes. So if they get downloaded and people didn't actually buy the product.
Oops.
Oopie. All right, so item two?
Item two. Well, some of you say, oh, I got this new DVD burner and I'm going to go copy some movies with it.
Yeah. And I mean, some people say that.
Yeah, some people.
Yeah, we've heard about those people.
Yeah. But you have to go get that software.
And that
there's a bunch of different software pieces. Well, after 8 months of deliberation, a San Francisco judge has ruled that software company 321 Studios DVD copying software is illegal.
The software is illegal. Wait a minute. Software that's made for copying movies is illegal. What a shocker.
And this is one that would actually take the stuff that's encoded so that you're not supposed to be able to copy it, and it breaks that protection and allows you to copy it.
Right.
And so now they're saying absolutely this particular program. It's what is it called again?
I'm not sure what it's called. It doesn't say here, but it says it's made by 321 Studios.
321 Studios. So you listeners out there that have that, just know that you're illegal.
Yeah.
And that's the right one. You're copying movies, now we know.
All right.
That one must work really well. They wouldn't be blocking it.
Yeah.
Item three?
Item three. Well, many of you heard a couple weeks ago about the MyDoom virus.
Yes, my doom was it was nasty. It was the fastest growing or fastest spreading worm of all time.
Yeah. Well, it already has an F variation now, which means there was an A, B, C, D, E, and F now.
And part of the deal was the original one was to attack the website for SCO, the people that write Unix.
Right.
It was a denial of service attack, right?
Right. And then the one after that was for Microsoft, wasn't
so,
it?
So now F is going to attack who?
The RIAA.
The Recording Industry Association of America.
Yeah. Very cool.
Why would...
Oh, my bad. I hit the wrong button over here.
Nice.
Let me see if I get the right one. Oh, still the wrong one.
Why would a hacker or some virus writer be upset with the RIAA? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to copy their music.
So chances are that highly trafficked website, the RIAA, is going to be unavailable here in the very short future, near future, huh?
That's going to put me out.
All right, and your final item?
The final item, well, I'm going to give a little plug to Apple here.
Yeah?
They have created an iPod Mini. The iPod Mini is a little thing that's like their really cool iPod, which is an MP3 player with a 10, 20, or 40 gig hard drive in it.
Yeah?
Well, they created a mini one that holds 2 or 4 gigabytes.
Do they call it a Snapple?
No,
there's a little trademark issue there.
Oh.
And they don't call it the mini-me either. Yeah. That'd be a problem.
So let me guess. It's an iPod that has the ability to... It's smaller, so it holds fewer songs and it costs less.
Yeah. Well, costs a little less. You see, the iPod mini that has 4 gig is $249.
Versus the 10 gig that runs $299?
Right.
Yeah.
So
but it's
actually,
mini.
No, the 15 gig runs $299.
Oh.
You can get 11 extra gig of storage and a few square inches more object for $50.
Hey, but space saving. It's it costs money to save space.
Yeah.
So it's smaller and gives you less, but it costs more.
Basically.
And tastes like chicken.
How big is it? Is it like the size of a credit card?
Oh, it's I don't have the specs here, but
it's about.
You could think about the. Size of
it's about 30% smaller than the regular iPods, right?
Okay,
something like
they're
that.
Getting small, jeez.
You know what? You ought to create a link to that.
It fitting in my pocket wasn't small enough. I need it to actually fit in my nose.
All right, applause for Adam. Nicely done, Adam.
Very good.
Yes, nice news items. All right, you keep your ear to the ground. You bring that stuff to us next week, and we'll try to guess if you're telling the truth or not.
Okay.
Well, you could throw in some fun stories where we have to guess, is this a real story or is this just Adam's imagination?
But we know everything, so we know everything.
Yeah, he won't stump us.
All right, Adam, thanks for checking in.
No problem.
Adam, now our 14-year-old protege in Glendale.
Protege would mean we're trying to mold him after ourselves.
Oh, yes, we are.
I would hope we can do better than that with him.
Okay. All right. Then whatever protege plus better equals. How about Chuck on line 4? Chuck, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi, thank you.
You have a problem with Norton. Is it antivirus?
Yes, it's Norton Antivirus 2000 that I've been using all along, but I had just recently, a month ago, I guess, enabled the email part of it because of the viruses that have been going around.
Now, let me make sure I understand. You're still running Norton Antivirus version 2000.
Right.
Did you happen to look at the calendar?
No.
it's 2004.
Yeah, I understand.
Here's the deal. When you turn on the email antivirus portion back in the old days, and
back
that's
in the, day,
the days of what software you have, it actually would change something. And what it would do is, instead of you checking email and it scanning things coming in, which is how it's done now.
Right.
Back then, what it would do is that would actually redirect your checking your email to another program inside your computer that would check on your behalf.
Yep.
And so it puts that kind of go-between in between.
Yep.
And the reason that they did away with that kind of technology is because of what you're experiencing right now.
Okay.
What they actually do now is it's just like a plug-in to the mail program you're using so that it's done and you don't have this kind of problem. And so
two things you want to do. One is you can call the Cox support line and they'll actually walk you through the settings in your email program to put it back.
Yeah, we've been there.
Okay.
It won't change it. It's screwed up both my addresses and I can't change the addresses or my password.
You tried uninstalling the Norton antivirus?
Yes, and reinstalling it.
No, don't reinstall it.
Okay.
Uninstall it.
Right.
This is one of the few times that we're going to tell you to uninstall it, and don't reinstall it yet.
Okay.
Then go back in and get all the settings in your email program. Are you using Outlook Express?
Yes.
Okay. Get all the settings in the connection area where it tells it, you know, the SMTP and the POP3 and all
right.
that stuff.
Right.
Get all that set up properly.
Right.
Then check your mail, make sure all that's working.
Okay.
Then throw that Norton 2000 disk away.
Okay.
And get something a little more current.
You know what? Actually, we're gonna do well, something a little bit strange again here. We're gonna recommend you don't go buy Norton Antivirus 2004. Buy 2003.
Yep.
If you can find 2003 on the shelves, buy that because you have an older machine.
Okay. Yeah, and it's 98 second edition.
Yeah. Well, the operating system is less of an issue. It's the actual physical machine.
Yeah.
That combination with 2004, we're finding a lot of people having performance issues.
Well, Norton, when I went to them with it, didn't even suggest upgrading, but what they did say is after we went through a few trial and errors is that I was going to have to go in and change my registry.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And
all
brain surgery
over the phone.
Yeah. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
So. Well, so another option you have is not buying anything. There's if you go to our website, there's a big yellow Data Doctors Approved banner.
Yeah.
If you click on that, one of the links that we have in the antivirus section is for a free program that works very well. And you can just download it right off the internet once you get past all this mess.
Now, is that just for antivirus internally, or does it also include the email checking?
It will also check it'll also block it when you try to open something in your email.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
So good luck, Chuck.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, that antivirus 2000. You know, that's generally a pretty good clue, folks. That I mean, a year or two maybe, but if it's starting to get 3-4 years old...
You don't have any...
Well, he's in a tough
protection.
Place, though. He's running Windows 98, and it's hard when you're in an older operating system and technology's moved forward, but you kind of haven't. You know, it's real tough to always... Like, you know, if he was just thinking, well, I need to keep up with the latest, he'd actually be in worse shape probably with the 2004 antivirus solution because it slows the machine way, way down, so...
So how do you know? Just how do you know? How do you know what you're supposed to do? Well...
You call Ken at home.
You
ask him.
No, let's just give the cell phone.
That's what everybody else does.
Exactly, yeah. Tech support. I average about 3 hours a night.
Right.
And personal people. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, that's what we're here for. Anytime you're in a situation where you're not really sure, you know that the general advice applies to you, but you may not really know if it really does in a particular instance, call us.
We got a newsletter. We got a website. We got a phone line, 602-277-5827. We got all kinds of ways for you to find out. How does this apply to me?
Check it out during the break, and we'll be right back.
Ted Simons, weekdays at 12:30.
They're saying...